If you could open your Bibles at the passage we're going to be looking at, we'll read that and then pray before we consider God's word together. Just two verses in Hebrews 11. That's page 1070 in the church Bibles. Hebrews 11 and verse 28. Hebrews 11:28. By faith he, that's Moses, by faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we ask for your help as we come to your word. We pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit, that we would have our minds clear to think about what you have said, that you would take away distractions, that you would help me not to get in the way of your word, but to make it clear. We pray that each one of us would take your word to our hearts and be moved to worship you and to live for you. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Hebrews 11, 28-29. Do you pay attention to the weather forecast? It's very easy to get the weather forecast, isn't it, these days? You don't need to listen at the right time on the radio. You can have an app on your phone, get the weather whenever you want. Are you the kind of person who's always checking the weather? I tend to do it quite a bit because I cycle to work. But often it doesn't really matter, does it? We have quite mild weather in our country most of the time. We don't have the extremes that some places have. But if you lived in Tornado Alley in the USA, the Midwest of the USA, you would be foolish to ignore storm warnings. I looked it up, and in just 13 days, in May of this year, May 2019, there were more than 200 tornadoes across the American Midwest. And that's a very big place, I have to admit. But 200 tornadoes is a lot of tornadoes. Several people were killed, dozens were injured, and hundreds of homes were destroyed. You see some of the devastation, just looks like matchsticks after a tornado has been through up to 300 mile an hour winds. You don't want to ignore storm warnings in a place like that. Well, despite many warnings and nine dreadful plagues, Pharaoh kept refusing to let God's people go. And now God has told Moses that he's going to bring one final terrible plague, the worst plague of all, on Egypt. Exodus 11. The Lord was going to pass through the land around midnight and kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. The firstborn of all the people, from the highest to the lowest, from Pharaoh to his slaves, even their animals. And after that, Pharaoh and the Egyptians would drive the people out. But when God said he's going to kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, there's a problem there, isn't there? Because God's people are in the land of Egypt. How would the Israelites escape this terrible plague? Well, God provides a way for them to be kept safe. Hebrews 11:28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Well, the title of the message this evening is Faith Saves. Faith Saves. Was faith saved from? Well, faith saves from God's wrath, God's righteous anger against sin. Faith saves from God's wrath. God was going to treat the Egyptians and Israel differently. Exodus 11, verse 7. What would make the difference? What was it that would be the distinguishing mark between Israel and the Egyptians? Well, it was whether or not there was the blood of a lamb over the doorway of each house, on the doorway and the post, on the lintel, the top bit of the doorway. The blood of a lamb on the doorway. This letter was written, the letter to the Hebrews was written, as the name tells us, to Jewish Christians. Every year of their lives, since they were as younger than they could remember, they would have celebrated the Passover. This was a big event in their calendar, perhaps like for many of us. Christmas is a big event, perhaps Easter and so on. Well, they celebrated this Passover every year. It's a familiar thing. What is it that the writer of this letter wants them to notice as he leads them to this familiar ground? Well, he wants them to notice the connection between faith and the Passover, in particular this first Passover in Egypt. He wants them to notice the connection between faith and the Passover. Without faith, there would have been no passing over. By passing over, we mean that God, the Lord, and the destroying angel would not visit that house to kill the firstborn. He would pass over them, as we read in Exodus. Without faith, there would have been no passing over. It says, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses was leading the people in an act of faith. God provided protection for his people, but that protection wasn't automatic. They had to believe God's warning of the judgment he was bringing on the land of Egypt and take action to come under God's protection. It was no good trusting in anything else. They had to use the way to be safe that God had told them about. The difference between Israel and Egypt wasn't that the Israelites were somehow superior or more deserving people in themselves than the Egyptians. It was that God had provided them with a way of salvation, blood of the Passover lamb. It was only by believing in and acting on this provision that they would be safe. It's a strange thing, isn't it? If you put yourself in their shoes, they had to believe that in killing this lamb and in painting its blood with the hyssop on the hyssop plant on the side of their door, on the top of their doorway, that they would be kept safe in this terrible plague. No other protection would work. It's no good putting up a notice outside saying Israelite home, or building a fence or a brick wall. They had a lot of bricks that they were making. They could have put up a wall. That wouldn't keep the destroying angel out. Nothing but the blood of the Passover lamb would do that. If the lamb was not killed, if its blood wasn't painted on the doorway, that family would lose their firstborn child. God has told us in the Bible, it's throughout the scriptures, God has told us that he is going to judge the whole world. Just like he judged the Egyptians then, he's going to judge the whole world. That's what your sin, it's what my sin deserves. Not one of us can escape the punishment that God brings on the world unless we follow the way to be safe that God has made. What is this way to be safe? It's the blood, not of a lamb, but of a man. Jesus, God's own Son, is the one whose blood is the only protection from this judgment of God that is going to come. Jesus is the real Passover. He's the one all the lambs killed that night in Egypt were pointing towards. It's only the blood of Jesus that can save us from God's judgment that is coming. Paul writes to the Corinthian church in Corinth, the Christians there, and he says, 1 Corinthians 5:7, he says, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And they were Gentile believers mostly. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Well, the Hebrew Christians were being tempted to look elsewhere than to Jesus. Believing in Jesus was unpopular. It brought them suffering and persecution. Maybe they should go back to the Jewish sacrifices. But the writer, through this letter, has been explaining to them that the real sacrifice was made when Jesus died on the cross. He's been saying to them, if you turn away from Jesus, you have no protection from God's judgment. Well, do you, this evening, do you have faith in God's Passover lamb? Have you realized you're in danger? Do you realize that you have a problem with the wrath of God, with God's holy and righteous anger against our sin? Unless you take God's way of escape, you remain under his judgment. John 3, verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son, in the Lord Jesus, has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You can't say to God, don't judge me, I'm not as bad as that other person I know. You can't say, don't judge me, I'm only the way I am because other people treated me badly in the past. It's not my fault, it's their fault. You can't say, you can't trust in your Christian traditions or in coming to church or your Bible knowledge, your family background. None of those things will keep you safe. A cross on the mantelpiece will be no help to save you, or a cross round your neck or tattooed on your arm. Giving money to the church won't do any good. No amount of prayers or charity donations or being nice to people. You need to believe in Jesus, to come under the shelter that only his blood provides. You need to realize that there is no other way that you can be saved from God's anger against your sin. You've got to give up all hope in any of those other things, or any other thing that you might put there that you might be tempted to trust in. You need to trust entirely in Jesus. Trust yourself to him alone. Don't trust in anything that you have been or that you are trying to be or you hope to be someday. Anything that you are at all. Trust everything to him. If you do that, if you trust yourself entirely to Jesus, you will be safe from God's wrath. There is then no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't need to fear death. You don't need to fear God's judgment anymore, because he will keep you safe. Those Israelites in Egypt, they could live and sleep safe in their homes that night because the blood of the lamb was over the door. The blood of that Passover lamb saved the firstborn of the Israelites that night in Egypt. Imagine you were a firstborn child that night. Would you have felt a bit nervous going to bed? Wouldn't you wanted to check, is there blood? Did my dad put the blood over the doorway like he was meant to? You would want to make sure, wouldn't you, that the blood was there. Well, that Passover lamb saved those firstborn children of the Israelites that night. But the blood of the Lord Jesus saves every man or woman, boy or girl, who trusts in him, not in just in one place, but all over the world. That is true. We can believe in Jesus here in this country tonight. People can believe in him in China, in Saudi Arabia, wherever it is, and they will be safe from God's judgment. And praise God, people are doing that all over the world. Paul says, Romans 3, familiar words to many of us, at Romans 3, 22, he says, there's no difference, in other words, no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all come short of what God expects of us. His standard is 100% righteousness, perfection. None of us can even come close to it. All of us have sinned and fall short, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're saved, we're declared righteous as a free gift from God, through the price that Christ paid, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. that first Passover night, that night there in Egypt, the blood of the lamb was the propitiation. What does that big word, propitiation, mean? It means the turning away of God's wrath. The lamb was killed so that the firstborn children of the Israelites wouldn't be, as if God had that lamb killed instead of them. The lamb took the wrath and the children went free. And it's like that with Jesus. Jesus, God's son, died so that all those who believe in him won't suffer God's punishment but can go free. He took the punishment so that we go free. We are redeemed by his blood. We escape God's wrath by the price that he paid. Faith saves from God's wrath. Faith in God's provision. In our case, not of the Passover lamb. That was the picture which did save those children that night. But we are saved by God's provision of the Passover man. Who is this Passover man? Well, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became the Lamb of God. Well, the firstborn of the Israelites were saved at that night in Egypt. They went free. But God sacrificed his own firstborn son to make all those who believe in him safe from his wrath. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we should praise God for? Have you come into that knowledge yourself? Have you trusted yourself to the Lord Jesus? Faith saves from God's wrath. It's the only thing. Faith in Jesus is the only thing that will do that. But then, faith saves from God's enemies. Faith saves from God's enemies. Verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Well, you have to read it for yourselves. The people left Egypt, the land of their slavery. We're told, Exodus 12:37, that there were 600,000 men on foot. You've seen some of the pictures of these migrations that are taking place in our world and have done over the last few years. Many people on the move. Well, here there were 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. Probably it's been calculated well over 2 million people in total leaving Egypt in the night, walking in orderly ranks, each one in their place. We're told that the Lord was with them in the pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Imagine what that would have felt like to be leaving Egypt. You've been slaves in Egypt all your lives, for several generations in fact, and now you are going out, set free. Well, Pharaoh and his servants, we know the story, soon changed their minds about letting the people go free, and they chased after them. And the Israelites, the way that God took them with purpose, and with method in his planning, they ended up trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. And these Israelites, they had no trained soldiers, no chariots and horses. They weren't experienced in warfare like the Egyptians were. In fact, God knew that. That's why he took them the way he did. But here they were between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, and they had the superpower of the world bearing down on them, getting closer all the time, and it looked like there was no escape. They were trapped. Can you imagine what that felt like? The sea ahead and an army at your backs, and nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. Well, no wonder they were very afraid, we're told, Exodus 14:10, and cried out to the Lord. Sadly, they also complained to Moses, said it would have been better to carry on as slaves in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. The first of their many such words, sadly, that they would speak. But Moses, Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more again forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. What faith Moses had. He knew that God wouldn't fail them, but he would certainly rescue them, even though at that point Moses didn't know how. He could see the situation as well as the rest of the Israelites could. He could see the Egyptian army behind them and the sea ahead of them, but he had God's promises and he trusted those promises. Moses had total confidence in what God had said. And God's answer came to him at Exodus 14, verse 15. Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And that's what they did. Imagine that. Going forward towards the sea, Moses stretching out his hand and the sea. At parting, told that God sent a strong east wind all night, carved a path through the middle of the sea and turned it into dry land. And so all 2 million plus of these Israelites marched through the middle of the sea with a wall of water on each side of them. Their way was lit up by the pillar of fire that had gone behind them, between them and the Egyptians. At the same time, that same pillar was a pillar of cloud and darkness to the Egyptians. By the time they were all across, it was nearly morning. Every single one of the Israelites made it over, from the smallest baby and the toddlers, who were no doubt carried some of the way, and all of them, from the oldest to the youngest, made it over. What about the Egyptians? Well, they chased after the Israelites even into the middle of the Red Sea. What amazing blindness and hardness of heart. What were they thinking? Perhaps by the light of the moon, they could see the dim outline of an unusual cloud in the distance and a gap where the sea used to be. I'm just speculating. I don't know that's what they saw. But why did they go after the Israelites there? They could see perhaps the footprints of the Israelites going straight ahead into this gap where the sea used to be. And unthinkingly, they ploughed on in their pursuit. We've nearly got them. Soon they'll be back as our slaves. We'll have all our possessions back that we gave to them, and everything will be back to normal. It was only when their chariot wheels started getting stuck that they realized that God was fighting for the Israelites against them. They realize now what they should have learned from the 10 plagues. It's futile to fight against the true and living God. No one can do it. No one can do it. No matter how powerful in our world, no matter how respected, no matter how great a celebrity, no matter how successful they appear to be, no one can fight against the living God and get away with it. Is anyone here doing that? Maybe not publicly, but in your heart, resisting God, saying, I don't want to believe in him. I don't want to follow him. Well, you can't do that. You can't get away from that indefinitely. Get away with that indefinitely. Well, the Egyptians realized eventually that they were in a mess, and they decided to turn tail and to flee back home to Egypt. But it was too late. As morning arrived, God told Moses to stretch out his hand again over the sea, and the sea came back and covered the Egyptians, and the whole army was drowned. Israel was safe. Israel was free. Hebrews 11, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. What a dramatic account. That account is repeated and looked back to over and over again through the whole Old Testament. It's God's great act of redemption for his people, and a very great Bible act in history. Well, faith saves from God's enemies. That's what we can take away from that momentous event. Faith saves from God's enemies. What about us? As God's people today, we too have enemies. We were thinking about it in the Bible study on Wednesdays. Andrew's taking us through Ephesians 6. who is our greatest enemy. If you're listening on Wednesday, you'll know that it's the devil, Satan. We used to be his slaves. If we're God's people now, we used to be Satan's slaves when we served sin. And the devil hates us to be free, and he wants us back. And the devil, he has many servants, principalities and powers and so on, that he uses to attack us and try, whether it's by force or by deception, to take us back under his control. But faith, even though we have these great and powerful enemies, faith saves us from those enemies. It saves us from all God's enemies, even the devil himself, devil and all his forces. Well, of course, it's not the power of our own faith, not the strength of our own faith that saves us and defeats the devil, but it's the strong Saviour God that we trust in. Our role, like for the Israelites here, is to go forward trusting in God and obeying God, and he will take care of the outcome. The people God redeems, he keeps. Every single one of them. Paul writes, just reading in 1 Corinthians this week, my own readings, and just struck by Paul's wonderful words of encouragement to the Corinthian Christians. You know, he has some difficult things to say to them, but he says this near the beginning of his letter. He says, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8, "The Lord Jesus will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." What a wonderful promise to give to that church. And we have that promised ourselves today if we know God, if we're his people. Peter tells the suffering believers scattered across the Roman Empire, he tells them in 1 Peter 1 verse 5 that they are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Satan can rage and attack and entice and tempt us, but faith in Jesus Christ will overcome him and all his forces. John says in his letter, 1 John 5, verse 4, he says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." It's a remarkable thing, isn't it? This is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. Well, when as God's people, we are threatened or suffer, whether it's the direct persecution of the world or whether it's Satan using the hard circumstances of our lives to sow doubts and to make us cast down, to cause us to question God's goodness. It could be those personal battles of trials, of illness and trouble in our family or whatever it is. However the attack comes, then God will save his people who trust in him. When the church is oppressed, when it's surrounded, when it's near to being crushed, God will save his people. We have that picture several times in the scriptures of God's people being surrounded. And he says there'll be terrible times in the last days, and we're to expect sufferings and tribulations. But God will save his people, and he's able to sustain our faith. God will save his people who trust in him. The Hebrew Christians needed to be reminded of that. They had enemies, just as their forefathers did. They needed to go on living by faith in the Son of God, who had loved them, carried on loving them, and gave himself for them. How is Satan attacking you, Christian? Do you feel this evening, or do you feel as you go through the week, maybe Sunday is a good day, but if you go through the week by Friday, are you feeling the pressure of the world, the mockery or just the disinterest of your work colleagues, the climate in which you operate, where no one takes any thought for God, where people think that you can make up your own morality and it doesn't matter? Perhaps you have the ongoing trial of resistance from an unbelieving family, pressure from classmates. Perhaps you're being pulled by temptations. You're battling with these temptations that are tugging at you, that you know you're being drawn towards things which are sinful, and you're finding the fight and the struggle hard. Well, however Satan is attacking you, then Jesus' power is greater. Has Jesus set you free? Are you trusting him to save you? Well, John says to us, John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Just as these people have been freed by God from Egypt, and they really were free, he brought them through. There was no way the Egyptians could take them back. If the Son sets us free, the Son of God sets us free, we shall be free indeed. If you belong to Jesus, you are no longer Satan's slave. You're not under his rule anymore. You don't need to fear him or to fear man. The Lord Jesus will keep you. His Holy Spirit will help you to stand firm and to resist temptation. Faith in Jesus will save from God's wrath. Faith in Jesus does save you and will save you and go on saving you from God's enemies. Even though you may suffer, you will be kept safe. Not a hair of our heads can ultimately be harmed. Jesus said, don't fear those who kill the body. Fear him who holds our whole lives in his hands. I haven't quoted exactly, but you know perhaps the verse I'm thinking of. Well, but we must realize these as we think that faith saves from God's wrath and faith in Jesus saves us from God's enemies. We must realize that if there is no faith, there's no salvation. No faith, no salvation. Moses had led the people in another act of faith. The first one was the Passover. The second one was crossing the Red Sea. But there's a sad postscript to this historical account, because most of the people who walked through the Red Sea between the walls of water didn't actually have real faith. The writer of this letter has already warned the Hebrew Christians. Hebrews 3, verse 14, he says to them, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's sad, isn't it? Very sad. See, these people, they benefited from Moses' faith, his real faith. They followed in some of the outward acts of faith. They painted the blood on the door frames of the houses, and those children were kept safe from death that night, physical night. And yet, they didn't have that real living faith in their hearts. They were prepared to paint the blood over their door frames. They followed Moses' instructions and crossed the Red Sea. They even rejoiced and celebrated their deliverance in that great song of Moses, praising the Lord, Exodus 15. And the women went out joyfully, followed Miriam with her timbrels and dancing, and they celebrated that wonderful deliverance from the Egyptians. But for most of them, sadly, their hearts weren't changed. And that although they shared in the blessings of God's believing people, some of their blessings of God's believing people, there were God's true believing people with them, and Moses and Joshua and Caleb, for example. Ultimately, many of those Israelites died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And it turns out that their hearts were as hard as the Egyptians. Despite all they had experienced of the mercies of God, they didn't believe in him themselves. We've all heard of fake news, haven't we? Be surprised if there's someone here who hasn't heard of fake news. But there is such a thing, according to Hebrews, as fake faith. Fake faith doesn't save. The writer has already warned these people about it, chapter 6, the danger of tasting God's blessings and then proving to be false believers. He warns them again in chapter 10, the danger of going back into sin. But he's confident that the people he's writing to, he's confident of better things concerning them. He's confident that they do have real faith. You can check that, chapter 6, verse 9, and chapter 10, verse 39. He believes that these are real Christians he's writing to. and they have real faith. And he wants to warn and encourage them to keep them going in their faith. He's telling them real faith does save. It saves us from God's wrath. It saves us from God's enemies. What is this real faith? Well, it's faith from the heart, isn't it? It's not just going through the outward things like painting blood on the door frames of the houses, but it's trusting God, loving God in our hearts, submitting to him, recognizing our spiritual needs as well as our physical danger and our danger of... we need to know that our danger from God's wrath, don't we? And to take serious action to trust in Jesus Christ. We need to believe, real faith believes God's provision in Christ, and it trusts God's promises. It goes on believing through hard times. It's no good trying to piggyback on someone else's faith, maybe your parents' faith or the faith of a friend. No, he's calling us to real faith ourselves this evening, to exercise faith. It's not a hard thing. It's not something complicated and far away. It's just taking God at his word and saying, I believe that Jesus is the way to be safe, and I want him to save me. Trusting in Jesus' blood to keep you from God's judgment on the world. Well, here in chapter 11, we've been seeing how the writer is focusing on those positive examples of faith. And the Hebrew Christians needed those examples to spur them on in their own faith, and so do we. So we face all those temptations to sin, those things that we know in our own hearts trip us up and get us to stumble, and we fall into time and time again. As we face those temptations, as we face a society that ridicules the idea of believing in the Bible, we need these encouragements, we need these examples. As our society grows more and more hostile to our faith, we need to learn from Moses. He believed God in extremely difficult circumstances, didn't he? In Egypt, oppressed by Pharaoh, threatened by the Egyptian army, between the army and the Red Sea, and yet still he trusted God would save them. Faith saves us from God's wrath. Faith saves us from God's enemies. God has spoken, his word is sure. We have every reason to believe. Many people would tell us, don't believe that. We have every reason, firm evidence, a firm foundation for our faith, every reason to believe and to go on believing.